House Labor and Commerce will now come to order. It's 3:30 on Wednesday, February 18th. We started 15 minutes late today because we donated the room to the Resources Committee, which was in the middle of a lengthy presentation. We only have one item on the calendar today. It's House Bill 86, PCE Endowment Fund Investment. As members know, we had a glitch last night with the computer system, and we weren't able to transmit the packets out until this morning. For that reason, because they weren't received by the committee for at least 24 hours, it's my intention to have a presentation today by the administration on the bill and then move the bill at the next meeting. And that way everybody can say that they had time to digest it. It's not a big bill, but it's an important bill. And with that, let's see, who's on first? Jerry. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
For the record, my name is Jerry Burnett. I'm the Deputy Commissioner, Department of Revenue. And House Bill 86 is a fairly simple bill conceptually, but it is, as you said,
simple bill.
It's fairly important. But I just wanted to thank the committee for hearing this bill, and on behalf of the commissioner, who couldn't be here today because he's in Senate Resources talking about AKLNG. So I'm going to leave it at that and let Pam Leary, who's the director of the Treasury Division, and Gary Bader, who's the state's chief investment officer, present the meat of the bill for you.
Well, thank you. I think we've got room for both of you at the same time. And thanks for joining us today. And please state your name and affiliation for the record. You've got our undivided attention.
Great. Thank you. I am Pam Leary. I'm the director of the Treasury Division in the Department of Revenue.
And I am Gary Bader. I'm the chief investment officer of the Treasury Division.
And so what we thought we would do today is go through a little bit of the history of the fund itself, the Power Cost Equalization Fund, and then talk about the bill before you, and then Gary will talk a little bit about the investment environment and considerations. So the original fund was established in the year 2000. Its purpose is to fund the Power Cost Equalization and Rural Electric Capitalization Fund and to reimburse the costs associated with managing the fund. Annually, 7% of the monthly average market value of the fund for the previous three fiscal years may be appropriated. And the Treasury provides the Alaska Energy Authority with that number annually. The establishment of the fund started by a $100 million appropriation from the Constitutional Budget Reserve, and then $89.6 million came from the proceeds of the sale of the Four Dam Pool hydroelectric pool. And then there were two additional appropriations, one for $182.7 million in 2007 and another for $400 million in 2012. The current balance as of January 31 of this year is $950.7 million. Going to slide three in the deck, we're going to talk about HB 86 and what it does. It basically, in Section 1, does two important things. One, it removes the stated nominal return target of at least 7% from the statute. And what that does is it allows the Commissioner of Revenue to invest the fund in a manner that can meet the objectives of the fund. So why is this important? It will allow the Commissioner of Revenue to invest in less risky investments during certain times when it is not thought prudent to do so, and still meet the financial needs of the fund itself. Also, there's a zero fiscal note associated with this bill, as it won't require additional funds to continue the work that the Treasury does with it. And so I would like to turn over to Mr. Bader to talk about some of the investment considerations.
I'd like the record to reflect we've been joined by Representative Ledoux.
On slide four.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's axiomatic in investing.
Please say your name and affiliation for the record.
My name is Gary Bader. I'm the Chief Investment Officer in the Department of Revenue. I was about to say that it is axiomatic in investing that what you're attempting to do is get the highest return for the least amount of risk. The current current law, as it is presently written, directs the Commissioner of Revenue to attempt to earn 7% each year without regard to risk. Before you, you see the capital market assumptions that are provided at the Alaska Retirement Management Board by their consultant, Callan and Associates. I would draw your attention to the top third bracket of investment asset classes. Those are the equity investment classes. And if you go three columns over and you take a look at the column that is titled one-year arithmetic investment arithmetic return, you see that they're fairly high rates of return if one considers that the return will be the average of what you get over several years. When I say average, I mean mathematical average, the mean average. But I would also call your attention to a column that is headed projected risk, standard deviation. And you can see that standard deviation means, for our purposes here, is that one-third of the time, or two-thirds of the time, the return of the fund will be plus or minus the standard deviation. So taking a look at broad domestic equity, if it has a one-year arithmetic return, that would earn 9.15% as a 10-year expectation, plus or minus 19%. So you could end up losing 10% if you're in that a year. That's just two-thirds of the time. Other amounts of the time, it could be far more or far less. Now, standard deviation affects what we call the geometric return. And you see the next column, second end from the left, is 10-year geometric return. And what that is saying is that when you have volatility of returns, what you can actually expect to get over 10 years is something less than the arithmetic return. It is always true. For example, if we had an investment and we had $100 and we were anticipating that we would earn 0% on average, but had a standard deviation of 50%, the first year that $100 might go to $150. If you lost 50% of that investment, the next year you would be down to $75. So while your arithmetic average was zero, your actual return was far less than zero. So it matters a lot in terms of how you invest. You don't want to take as much risk. You want to eliminate as much risk as you can possibly do. Looking down the column of possible investment returns, we can see that while looking at the arithmetic column, in order to earn 7%, we would have to almost always be in equities. Probably 80% or 90% of what we invest would have to be equities, because to invest in fixed income with returns of 2 and 3%, that would average down your investment considerably. So the attempt to earn 7% forces the commissioner to take a far more risky path than he might otherwise choose. The stock market has gone up 6 years in a row. That is unprecedented. It's never gone up 7%, or 7 years in a row. We're hoping that it will this year, but we have to face the potential that the market will soon turn against us. Passage of this bill would allow the Commissioner of Revenue to adjust asset allocations both to market conditions, taking into account risk, and also attempt to earn an investment return of 7% over time. And so that's the reason why we're asking for the committee to consider this bill and approve it. That concludes my presentation.
What happens when the market tanks, and let's say we have a year that's 2.5% or 3%? Does the state backfill the difference between that and 7% into the PCE fund?
No, the fund's investment, the state could appropriate money into the PCE, but there's no requirement to do so that I'm aware of. So the fund lives on its own returns.
Representative Ledoux.
So the term nominal return, usually that kind of means like it's a nothing or something, but it doesn't sound like that's what you're talking about, because previously it said 7% nominal return, and 7% certainly isn't in my language nominal. So what does it mean when you say nominal return? Is there some sort of work of art in this statute that other than regular English?
Through the chair, yes, Representative. It is a term of finance, and what it simply means is a real rate of return plus inflation is what is referred to as a nominal rate of return. So it's an after-inflation return.
Oh, new question?
Yeah, it's actually a new question. So how long has the state been investing this PCE endowment?
I'll let Ms. Larry answer.
Through the chair, it's been 14 years since it was established in 2000.
And through that 14 years, it's always been invested to try to hit 7%?
That's correct. That's been the statute.
And it came in a little bit late, so did it... How was it done over those 14 years? I mean, did it lose money? Did it gain money? Did it...
Through the chair, it has fluctuated. There have been years where the returns have been negative. There have been years that the return has been positive. The last 5 years, the returns have been 14%.
If I may add, Mr. Chair, that when the statute was written, interest rates were a lot higher than what we find them today. So you could have fixed income investments earning 6-7% plus equity investments, stock investments, that made the 7% probably a very realistic and attainable goal at the time. What we find ourselves now in is an interest rate environment where 10-year treasuries are earning less than 3%. And so that is one of the things that prompts the need for this legislation.
What is the average annual nominal return on the 14 years? Roughly, just...
Through the chair, we'd have to get that number to you. I have actual returns for each year, but I don't have the complete except for the 5 years.
Yeah, if you could do that, I'd just be curious.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Josephson.
Thank you. My question is, this 14% returns in the last 5 years, so it's grown 14% in 5 years or per annum?
Per annum. It's,
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I see on slide two that 7% of the monthly average market value of the fund can be appropriated. Has it been appropriated at that amount, the 7% average there in the last 14 years? And do you foresee, if we change what you're requesting in the bill, that we might have to adjust that allowance for being appropriated? In other words, if we're not earning at the same rate, if we're earning less, then we might have to be lowering that percent of what we may appropriate. Just wondering how that might impact.
Mm-hmm. Through the chair. I don't know historically all 14 years. I do know that for fiscal year 16, the appropriation amount in the budget is less than 7%. It's a little bit over 5%, I believe. So we can look at that. And in terms of the target return that is set by the Commissioner of Revenue, I think one of the factors in any setting, and Gary can correct me if I'm wrong, is you look to see what the use of the fund will be and what the needs are, what the cash flows, what the expectations are to match that. And because we are on the investment side, we were really more concerned about setting the target and the undue potential risk associated with setting something too high, which would add risk in certain environments.
And I know you're on the investment side, but is that 7% that may be appropriated, is that by statute? Do you know? Is that where that guidance comes from?
It is. It is the calculation that the Treasury provides to the Alaska Energy Authority is the three-year fiscal year monthly average, and 7% of that number.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Is there, I guess we're opening up to the public. Is there anybody in the room that care, would care to testify? Seeing none, is there anybody online? This will be real easy. With that, I'm going to hold public testimony open, and we will hear the bill. Do we have BPH on Friday, Conrad?
We do.
I guess we'll hear it on Friday and wrap it up. And with that, any further comments or questions? Or we will adjourn at 3:45.